We are so glad to see all of you this morning. We would like to find out who is in worship. And the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could give us your name, contact information, and check the appropriate boxes, we certainly would appreciate that. Send it down. After you're done, if you could send it down the pew so everybody has a chance to fill that out, I would appreciate that. Once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. We do ask, once it gets back to that first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used, that will help those ushers a little bit later in the service. Thank you for that. Several quick announcements I'll draw your attention to. Most of these are listed, the upcoming events and opportunities for the week. A reminder to our family ministry team, that's our youth council, preschool council, children's council, and family enrichment committee. We are meeting today at 4 o'clock in Smith Hall. Also, tonight, for our youth, we have Destination X leaving here at 5:30. Make sure you have your forms turned in, please. Let's see. Also, today is the last day to turn in nominations for the office of deacon. Those forms and boxes are available throughout the church. Church conference this week, our quarterly church conference, is scheduled for this Wednesday. Also, next Sunday, a big day that we have every fall is our Fall Family Festival. This is for the entire church. It begins at 4 o'clock next Sunday afternoon. We have the inflatable games and the face painting and all kinds of stuff like that. Also, we'll have our chili and soup that you guys are going to provide for us, hopefully. We gather together as a body to enjoy fellowship and also to enjoy food. There is a sign-up sheet there in the main hallway. We invite you to just find soup or chili or desserts, whatever. Raymond, do you have a favorite dessert? Pound cake of any kind would be fine. If you want to please your pastor, that would, and that's a good thing. Get you in heaven quicker, doesn't it? Can you please your pastor? Is that not? Okay. All right. Oh, yeah. That's right. So it's going to be a big day next week, Fall Festival. Several other things listed there in your bulletin. I want to recognize Jason. Come on.
Good morning. This week, College Park is hosting the Adventures in Lifetime Learning series, which is a conference put on by the Shepherd Center for the senior adults of our city, both some continuing education type and some ministry and fellowship type opportunities. We're going to be hosting it this Tuesday and Thursday and then the following Tuesday and Thursday. The reason I mention that is that this Thursday is our regularly scheduled College Parkers senior adult luncheon. And for anybody who doesn't know what that is, our senior adult ministry has a luncheon one time every month on the third Thursday. And it's usually at 11:30, and it's usually covered dish. But we're doing things a little bit differently this week because we're going to join with the group from the Shepherd Center and the conference. And our lunch is going to be at noon instead of 11:30. Technically, our reservations were due on Friday, but I'm going to give you one last opportunity that if you haven't signed up, if you'll let Charles Edwards or me know today that you'd like to come, we'll get you on the list. $6.50 for the lunch that's being catered, a nice box lunch from California Fresh, and the entertainment's going to be provided by the School of the Arts. But just a reminder that we are going to gather at 12 instead of 11:30 this week. And it's not covered dish. So look forward to seeing you all. And I think it's a good thing that our church is hosting this conference. There'll probably be about 100 senior adults from our city here at our church over the next 2 weeks. And it's a good thing for them to see us and our facilities and see that we're trying to connect with others around the city, both other churches and just other members of the senior adult community. A quick pastoral care request. Yesterday, one of our dear members, Ms. Vinnie Davis, yesterday her sister, Edis, who lived here in town, passed away at the age of 98. And we told Ms. Vinnie that we would certainly be in prayer for her and her family. They haven't announced any service arrangements yet, probably a midweek service. But please look for the obituary column in the paper to see that. But most importantly, let's lift up Ms. Vinnie in prayer, as well as any others who are have family members or loved ones who are struggling in different ways. Thank you.
We'd like to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles. They would like to give something to you. If you're a guest, just raise your hand. right where you are. The ushers will recognize you. We appreciate you giving us your information on the pew pad a few moments ago. The information we're giving to you includes a letter from our pastor welcoming you to the service today. Also, newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So, thank you for your presence today. We have a lot to be thankful for. I was reading in the news about the Christian minister from Iran who's been arrested and under possible execution for not recanting its faith. And I'm reminded of the martyrs today who have been killed in the name of Christ around our world. And when you sit in this beautiful sanctuary, in the freedom that the United States provides us, we forget how dangerous it is to call on the name of Christ. So on a day like today, a beautiful day, let us count our freedoms as so very important to pray for those who are persecuted, for those who have to make the ultimate sacrifice. But let us pray to God and thank Him for Christ who gave the ultimate sacrifice. That's why we worship today. Let us do it in freedom. Let us prepare for worship. Let's pray together. Glorious is your name, Abba, Father, the one who made us. Father, on this beautiful Sunday morning, we recognize the amazing gift that it is to be in your presence, not only to live in the United States where we're free to gather, as we choose, where we choose to worship you. That is a gift. But the greater gift is we get to come into your presence. No matter what the government says, no matter whether under persecution in another country or not, there are people who are coming into your presence because they believe in Jesus. And it's because of Jesus that we want to worship you, that we call your name glorious. Be in this place, we pray. Let everything that is done be done to glorify you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Yeah.
I invite all to come on down. All the kids, right here. Right here. Okay. Come on. Now I have something. Oh, here they come. I have something very important. And money. Money? Why does everybody think it's for them? All right. Hey, Jerry, can you turn it? I need everybody crisscross applesauce, frozen, looking at me. All right. Thank you. Now, this is very important. Does anybody want this?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. But how do I know whose it belongs to? How do I know whose? Christian, why do you think it's yours? You are. What? Okay. All right. Okay. Christian, let's see if you can figure this. What's the serial number? Go. If you know what the serial number is, I will give you. Keep going. Okay. Keep going. Oh, you're so close. Not really. Okay. No. All right. Now, but whose picture is on there? George Washington. Now, what? Can you imagine? Caleb, I think your hair needs to look like that. You think you can do that? Do you think? I'll give you $1 if you make your hair to look like that. Okay? Isn't it funny? He's kind of got bald head, but he kind of has wings to his hair. But here's something interesting. I want everybody, every dollar bill has a picture of a famous president on it, right? Now, Charlie, I need the $100 bill. Can you hand me? Oh, Big Raj. Big Raj has a $100 bill. Well, I can't use that next time. Okay. Now, but here's the thing. How do you know who it belongs to? Well, it says this is the United States of America. There's a president on here. But there's an interesting story that Pastor Raymond is going to talk about in a little while. And it talks about Jesus was trying to teach some people, what are you supposed to give to God? Okay, you're supposed to give to God money. That's right. But let me ask this question. Why is it important to give God money? Okay. Who gave you that money to begin with? Ultimately, you work for it, but, well, us ministers, we don't really work for it. We only work on Sundays. Isn't that right? We work on Sundays. But here's the thing. How did you work for it? Your mom and dad and your grandparents, they were gifted to go to work, right? Who gave them those gifts? God, exactly. Everybody's listening? Is everybody looking this way? Everybody listening? Wilton is exactly right. God gave them and you every gift that you have. So when you go out, He did. He made, He even gave you toys. He gave your mom money to give you toys. But guess what? How am I supposed to give those gifts back to Him? Absolutely. Because when we do that, we recognize we belong to Him. Everything that you are, everything that you have, you were made by Him. Just like I look at that dollar and I can see who it belongs to, I can look at you and see who you belong to. You belong to God. Because I can look in your eyes, and I can see God inside you. Okay? So that means every day, everything that you do, give everything you have to God. Okay? Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for today. It is a gift. It is a gift to see these children and to hear them as they lead in worship. Hear them as they come down front for children's time. Father, today, remind us all, we are all your children. You have given us gifts and talents, and you want us to use everything that we have to glorify you, to give them back to you. Help us to do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go back to your seats now.
Thank you, children. Our scripture text this morning comes from the Old Testament. I'll be reading two passages from the Old Testament. First, from the book of Psalms in Psalm 99. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by. From Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob, you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those called on his name. They called on the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, even though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. And from the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah 45, beginning at verse 1. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of, to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I'll give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow upon you a title of honor. Though you do not acknowledge me, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. May God add his blessing to the reading and the understanding of his holy word. I had the pleasure this morning of being with our children for a few minutes as they finished their Sunday school time. And Miss Leanne asked me if I would close them in prayer. And one of my little buddies responded immediately, "Oh no, he's going to pray for 10 minutes. That it was funny, and there was also some truth to it. But the key, and this is what our children are learning, is that it doesn't matter what the prayer sounds like. It doesn't matter whether we're by ourselves in a quiet place or we're here in a room of over 200 people worshiping God. The key is that we're connecting with God. That's what our children are learning. And my real and earnest prayer for you and for me this week is that in this hour of worship and throughout this week, that our prayer is connecting with God. It's not just a habit. It's not something we put off, and it's not something we do just because we feel like we have to. It's an earnest effort to connect with God. And in this moment of worship, let us go to God in prayer and connect with him right now. Dear Lord, we love you. We've ignored you some this week and ignored your open offer to connect with you anytime, any place, anywhere about anything. Lord, thank you for being a consistent, faithful, loving God who's there on our best days and our worst days. Lord, we've forgotten you some this week, but we need you. We need you today. We need you tomorrow. We give thanks for you, for your consistency and your love and your commitment to us, your children. Lord, please help us to connect more closely with you. In this hour, we worship you, Lord, because you are our God. You created us. You have watched over and kept us every day of our lives. It is by your grace and mercy that we are here today. It is by your grace and mercy that we have eternal salvation through the love that you showed us in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us not to walk past you today, not to walk past you this week, but to seek earnestly to connect with you, to have a relationship with you, an ongoing dialogue in prayer, because the opportunity to talk to you and be in conversation and communication and fellowship with you is the greatest gift that we could hope for. Lord, this past week may not have been our best. Without question, there were things that didn't go the way that we wanted. Lord, help us to look to this new week with hope, with anticipation and optimism, that we don't know what is ahead, but we know that with you by our side, it doesn't really matter what's coming next. What matters is that we know who we are, and we know who you are, And we know that we're going to be okay because we are loved and we are your children. Lord, we want to connect with you, even though we don't show it always. We want to connect with you. Thank you for wanting to connect with us. And Lord, don't give up on us because we want to come to you this week and connect with you, to have conversation with you and to grow closer to you so that this week may be one like no other, a week that we spend in fellowship with our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our salvation. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Pray with me, please. We thank you, Lord, for your Son Jesus who died for our sins. Forgive us when we fail to live for your teaching. Thank you for our church and our staff. Comfort those who are suffering. Heal those who are sick. Help us to love those that you love us. We pray for our country that you will continue to bless us. Now bless this offering and our life to your service. We ask in your name. Amen.
Accompaniment in the back. Oh, me. Good stuff. Thank you, youth and children, for leading worship with us. And I hope that you've had a great week. We are going to kind of take on a passage of Scripture, which I know there will become a point in the passage of Scripture when you go, I know that verse. And hopefully there's more than just one in this passage of Scripture. But we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 22. We've been in Matthew for several weeks. And we're going to pick up in Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. And again, if you don't have your Bible with you, there should be one there close by in the pew. You're welcome to take that and read along with us. We're going to read a passage of Scripture. Again, I think it's familiar. But it begins like this. Then the Pharisees went out, and they laid plans to trap him being Jesus, in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Sounds to me like they're buttering him up for something, eh? You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. And they brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose portrait is this and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And when they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and they went away. For some of us, the world can be kind of an either-or kind of place. Let me explain. It's that mentality that says either you're for me or you're against me. During the Vietnam War era, the phrase, America, love it or leave it, was a popular either-or kind of response to anti-war activism. And for some, if we're not careful, faith can become kind of an either-or kind of experience. You know, sometimes good, sometimes, well, it's kind of one of those, is God for me or is God against me? You know, if there's such thing as terrorism and disease and suffering, how can there be God? And since there is terrorism and disease and suffering and bad things happening to good people, therefore, there isn't God. That's the mindset. You know, it's all good or it's all bad. You know, this idea of either or. When I was at Wake Forest, I discovered that doubt is not the opposite of faith. It's actually an element of faith. And that helped me to break free of some of my really staunch kind of either or type of thinking. But for many people, life is a gray experience. Let me explain. It's good, sometimes not good. And what that leads to is kind of a grayness feeling about our faith in God. You know, we think, well, God loves me, but maybe he really doesn't care about what I'm doing today. Whether that's good or bad. You know, or I believe that God is all powerful, but I really don't think that he chooses to use his power to help me. So that's what I mean by gray living. And it's kind of a trap there. You know, God's this, but yet he can't be that. And in today's gospel reading, Jesus is confronted with kind of an either or choice. You know, and it leaves his challenger standing there just thinking, you know, what in the world? Because they come to him and they say, teacher, tell us, after they butter him up, what do you think? Is it lawful? Is it right? Should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? Now, again, we don't have to be biblical scholars to understand that this is a trick. This is a trick question. Those at testing Jesus, Scripture tells us, they were from two different groups, kind of like our political parties, if you will. You know, you had the Pharisees and they had the Herodians. Now, the Pharisees were known for very strict legalism in interpreting Jewish law and tradition. They were really big into tradition. They had taken the law and written volumes and volumes and volumes of interpretations on that, and they held those traditions sometimes as high, if not higher, than the actual Jewish law. Then you had the other political party, which is the Herodians, who they were Jews who were loyal to Herod, and they were supportive of Rome's presence in Israel. They had no problem with it. Now, the Herodians, probably as a group and probably individually, they had no problem paying taxes. They were all for taxes. It was to support Rome, blah, blah, blah. We'll pay them. No problem. The Pharisees, your average Pharisee, would not have been in favor of paying taxes for two reasons, at least two reasons. The main two being, first of all, in Torah law, which is the Old Testament law, in Torah law, which they held sacred, selling land to outsiders is absolutely forbidden because the land belongs only to God. Kind of a novel concept. Leviticus chapter 25 verse 23 puts that forth. And so from their very strict viewpoint, Caesar did not have a right to God's land and was therefore not entitled to collect taxes from God's people or anything having to do with God's land. Make sense? That was their interpretation. The second reason that they would have had a real problem with taxes is because the coin itself held a graven image. It had a picture of Caesar. Now understand, the Roman Empire attested to the fact that Caesar was God. He was a god. And so for the Pharisees, just having this coin, just having to touch this coin and acknowledge Caesar in any way was tantamount to being idolatry. They had to handle these coins every single day. So for them, that's idolatry. And idolatry is a tough concept to understand. It really is. And there's some gray area there, and people have a lot of discussion about it. I'm reminded about Nancy. Nancy was a senior adult lady. She was a grandmama. And her daughter had a beautiful little girl named Megan. And Megan came to spend the weekend with Nancy. So Nancy brings her to church, and Megan is having a wonderful time. She's sitting there coloring on the back of the bulletin. That's why we print those things. You know, and Megan is sitting there coloring on the back of the bulletin, and the preacher is preaching on idolatry. And he's going on and on and on and on about idolatry, this is an idol, this is an idol, this is idolatry, this is idolatry. And poor Megan's just sitting there, just, you'd have thought she wasn't paying a bit more attention than anything. And when the preacher finally ran out of breath and had to stop to take a breath, little Megan says out loud where Grandmama Miss Nancy can hear it, says, "My mama takes me to idolatry." I want to thank Mr. Gary Elkins. I want to thank Mr. Gary Elkins for that little tidbit of information. Idolatry is one of those things, it's a tough concept to grasp. And for little people, sometimes it's more difficult than it is for adults. But it is a tough concept to grasp. And we have to remember, we take the things of God very seriously. But we shouldn't take ourselves too seriously. Amen? Idolatry. That's what the Pharisees would have considered this. Are we going to give taxes to Caesar? If we do, that's idolatry at its root. So consider the predicament that Jesus has been placed in. He's in the middle of these two groups. And if he says, okay, go ahead, pay the taxes. Go ahead, yeah, whatever. Pay the taxes. The Pharisees would have gone ballistic on him. We knew it. We knew it. He can't be the Son of God. He's blaspheming. There's no way he would do that if he understood Scripture. So what if he said, no, don't pay the taxes? Well, then the Herodians, they would say, well, you know, you're not loyal to the empire. They would have reported him. He would have been arrested. I mean, you got a mess. And so this either or kind of audience is where Jesus is stuck in. And that's exactly what they wanted, but it's exactly what he knew. He knew where he was, in the middle of this lion's den, if you will. And he looks at them, and they've asked him the question, tell us what you think. You're so smart, tell us what you think. Is it lawful? Is it right? Should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus wouldn't play their game. Instead, he kicked down their playhouse. He says, you hypocrites. Well, anytime a sentence starts with that, what comes after that's probably not good news, okay? You hypocrites. You know, what is important, Jesus told him, is not whether you're paying taxes to Caesar or not, or the coins with which you pay it. What is important is remembering who you are and whose you are. That's what he wanted them to know. Give to Caesar what's Caesar's, but give to God what's God's. In other words, Jesus tells them to give the civic authority which belongs to them. Give that to Caesar, you know, give that, but give what belongs to God to God. And Jesus should have added, and probably did, maybe, I don't know. He could have added, make sure you know the difference between the two. Give to Caesar what's Caesar's, but give to God what's God's. Jesus, he got it. He understood. He knew the difference. He was not concerned with their politics. Jesus was concerned with love and justice. Give to God what is God's is a mandate to reevaluate our whole life. Knowing the difference between Caesar and God to Jesus really isn't an either or kind of thing. Rather, it's a matter of love and justice. It's a matter of living in the way that Jesus lived. There's a collection of documents, which I invite you if you want to come read them sometime. I've got 38 volumes of the early church fathers and their writings. These are following scripture in the first and second century and third century of the early church fathers. And they dealt with a lot of these type of issues, especially being a part of the Roman Empire. You know, how do we live as believers and at the same time be a part of a civic government? And Tertullian, who was one of the early church fathers, is kind of credited for being kind of the father of the Latin community, the Latin believers, the early Christians who were Latin. And in his writings, he has one, interestingly enough, called On Idolatry. He's writing on the subject of idolatry. And he references the very passage that we're talking about this morning. So I want to read it to you. The translation's a little rough, so bear with me in the wording of it. But he begins like this. The things which are Caesar's are to be rendered to Caesar. It is enough that he being Jesus, it is enough that he set in apposition, therefore, and to God, the things which are God's. What things then are Caesar's? Those, to wit, about which the consultation was then held, whether the poll tax, which was a specific kind of tax that they were referencing, whether the poll tax should be furnished to Caesar or not. Therefore, too, the Lord demanded that the money should be shown to him and inquired about the image, whose it was. And when he had heard it was Caesar's, said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and what are God's to God. That is, the image of Caesar, which is on the coin to Caesar, and the image of God, which is on man to God. So as to render to Caesar indeed money, and to God yourself. Otherwise, what will be God's if all things are Caesar's? Do you understand his line of thinking? He says, Jesus asked for the coin, and he saw the image of Caesar on it, and he said, render unto Caesar those things which are Caesar's. Those things which bear his image, give him. But those things which bear the image of God, give to God. And then he says, what bears the image of God? We do. We were made in the image of God. We were made in the likeness of God. So Tertullian is saying, Jesus is very clear in his teaching, at least in my mind. He's saying, give to Caesar the things that bear his image. They're temporary at best anyway. But give to God yourself. Because his image is upon you. Give all that you have, all that you are, to God. You know, for some people, the world is either or. For some of us, God is an either or kind of God. But for Jesus, the tension between Caesar and God simply did not exist. Because God was everything. You know, to Caesar, he gave respect, but never the authority over how he was going to live or even how he was going to die. You know, we see this most profoundly at the end of his life. He's standing there before Pilate, and Pilate is the symbol of the highest Roman official in all of Israel. The one who had power over Jesus' life and death in his hands, or so he thought. And Jesus is standing before him, and in John chapter 19, beginning at verse 10, it says this, Pilate therefore said to him, do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you? And Jesus answered him, you would have no power over me unless it had been given to you from above. From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, if you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor. Jesus understood. It's all God's. You know, while it's easy to focus on ourselves, it's easy to become overwhelmed by the stresses and the demands of daily life, I think we need to get a little bit bigger picture. We need to look up, and we need to look out. We need to understand that we're a part of a bigger community. We're a part of the body of Christ that has been given the Holy Spirit to change the world. We have been given the power of the Holy Spirit to live as Christ taught us to live, to follow his example. And for Christians, the basis for our allegiance to any earthly power, the basis to our allegiance to community or nation or our world, the basis of that is our faithfulness to God and our commitment to following the ways that Jesus taught us to live in love, to live in justice, to live in peace in his name. Give, therefore, to Caesar the things that are Caesar. Give to God the things that are God's. And we ask that God give us the wisdom to know the difference. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we confess that we want to be authority of our own life. We confess we want to make our own decisions. We confess that we sometimes, whether we want to admit it or not, are kind of the school that says, we've got this under control, God. You just go back to creation and maintaining any other thing, and we've got this handled. But we know nothing is further from the truth. We know that you are in control of all things, and we must submit ourselves to your control because you have something so much better for us than we could ever manufacture or dream up on our own. God, we know that you love us, that you want the best for us. Help us to surrender who we are, all that we have, all that we are to you, to give to you that which you've created in your image. God, we know that that'll take a little work, that'll take a lot of trust, that'll take some self-reflection on our part. And so we pray that you would give us that time here this morning just to look at our own lives, to see those points where we need to ask forgiveness, to see those points where we need to surrender parts of our lives that we just hang on to and want to control. God, we pray that we'd be faithful to the example that your Son gave us in all things. For it's in his name that we pray and ask these things. Amen. I want to invite you this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity to accept him. We're going to be singing in just a moment, and I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that, this is your morning. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. If you are a believer and you say, Raymond, I am a believer, but I'm really having some struggles, and I think they're all about that self-control thing. You know, I want to control myself instead of giving control of all things to God. The altar here will be open. You're welcome to come pray. You can certainly do that where you are. If you'd like for me to talk with you and pray with you, I'll be glad to do that. Whatever you need this morning to do business with God. If you're here this morning, you say, I want to be a part of this membership in official capacity. I'd like to be a member of College Park. I can tell you there are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to take this time seriously as we stand and sing together now. want to invite you, if you would, be seated for just a moment. Ken, if you and Anita would come up, I want to introduce you to Ken and Anita Hatchett. They are coming this morning by a transfer of a letter from a sister congregation, and they are involved in the Friends and Partners Sunday School class, I think. So they've been regular in worship with us, and I want to invite you to come by after the benediction and the response for that, the response, and come by and greet them. If you will pray for them, if you will encourage them and bring them into your home and feed them supper, would you join me in saying amen? Did you take notes?
Amen.
You got that? Ken's all about that eating supper, aren't you? That's all right. Very good. Would you stand with me for our benediction? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day. God, you are such a merciful God. You are such a loving God. So we thank you, we praise you for who you are, and we pray that as we go from this place, that we would be more like you, that we would seek to glorify you with the things we say, the things we do, the attitudes, our thoughts, so that the world will truly know that there is a difference, and that we serve a God who is alive and cares deeply about us. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.